Hello and welcome to the Friday, August 2nd, 2013 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm there recording from Baltimore, Maryland. Well, we do have a great guest diary today by Jeff Singleton about Google's two-factor authentication and not to use it for web-based logins, which is how it's usually used, but to use it to authenticate to Linux systems. Turns out there is a PAM, a pluggable authentication module, available for Linux that can be used to integrate Google two-factor authentication. So once this module is installed, then for example, you can use Google two-factor authentication in order to authenticate for SSH. The one kind of problem here is that this does not cooperate with a key-based authentication. However, one of our readers commented and mentioned one little trick that you can use to use key-based SSH authentication and Google two-factor authentication. You have to first use key-based login to authenticate to a limited capability account on the target system, and then you use SU and Google two-factor authentication to actually change to your actual user ID. That sounds like a pretty interesting idea and something I have to try on my system. The part I like about Google authentication is that it's very easy and cheaply, well, it's free to implement, unlike some other two-factor authentication schemes. However, it is not real two-factor authentication in the sense that it's not typically a real hardware token, but a software token on your cell phone. You can also get software tokens for desktops if you wish to do so, but given that it's free, I think it does provide a meaningful additional authentication layer. And of course, Black Hat is underway this week. And with that, a number of stories that are related to this conference. For example, researchers were showing off a SCADA exploit against valves and control systems that are currently used in oil platforms. And in a simulation on stage, they were able to essentially control these valves, but also present bad information to the human control interface, so essentially to the PCs that are used to display the status of these valves, fooling the operator into the actual status of what's going on with these valves in their pipelines. And a TLS implementation issue was demonstrated in Gmail and Outlook.com that allows an attacker to essentially block the logout request of the legitimate user without that user being able to tell. And then as a result, the attacker will be able to take over the session that is still established. There are no details right now how this could be accomplished. Maybe one of the issues is if the logout page is then redirecting to a non-HTTPS page or something like that. I could see how that could possibly work. And the exploit was demonstrated against Apple's App Store, which of course is often quoted, and I have done this too, as one of the more secure ways to download software. What these researchers managed to do is to create an application that will pass the Apple application process, but then once it's loaded on the device, it will rearrange its code and then expose malicious functionality. While we're talking about Apple, there was also an exploit being demonstrated using the Apple USB charger, and essentially the USB connection was then used via a malicious charger to send a code to the phone. Apple announced that this particular problem will be solved in iOS 7. Well, these were the highlights that at least I spotted. There were also some car attacks, but that's not really all that new, and some of the home automation attacks I talked about yesterday. But, well, Black Hat is not the only thing going on. We also have still some breaches happening. OBSCO, the company behind the popular open source configuration management system Chef, was breached. At least its wiki and customer support ticket system was breached. And as a result, things like customer names, email addresses, and hashed passwords were leaked. The passwords were hashed using the PBKDF2 algorithm, which is a little bit better than MD5 or SHA-1. The problem, of course, may also be that with the ticket system, the attacker may have had some access to confidential information sent to OBSCO as part of support requests. And we do have security updates for Chrome and VMware, so if you're using that software, take a look at the vendor's website for the latest version. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.